It's your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
That doesn't happen with records, does it? Sorry.
Hey, we'll get on to your part then.
That's what happens when you put down a pair of headphones which have fallen over and you put them on your lead there, which is held on with electrical tape.
Hey, it's a hard drive. It's a hard drive. It's been driven hard.
Sorry.
But, you know.
That was a good tune as well.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Basement Jack's Jump and Shout. I've been saving it up all morning. That's my personal one for me. But no, it's from the crate, Southbound Records, by all means. Let's go.
God damn it.
Hi, Troy. Hi. Look, we can play that. The thing is with BFM, we can just play that another time.
Yeah, you can.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, you can play it straight afterwards, actually. Yeah. Anyways, I brought in some records from the store today. A few things which have now come back in print, which you'll be pleased to know.
You know, classics always come back around, Troy.
Yes, they do.
What do you got?
Well, there was a group from San Francisco in the late 70s and early 80s, and they put out, what did they put out, 4 or 5 records?
I think they did. They gave it a fair go.
Even they were even the first, in fact, the main person in the group was the first person to ever be taken to court by the PMRC over distributing harmful matter to minors.
Oh, I think we know who that is.
Wow.
Are you talking about one of the greatest people to ever have been born on the planet? Also one of the strangest.
Yep.
And a personal friend of yours, which has always always excited me, and a hero of mine, Jello Biafra. Are you talking about the dead Kennedys, Troy?
That's who
we're
talking
about. Is that what you're talking about? The dead bloody Kennedys?
That's who we're talking about.
The dead Kennedys,
y'all. Oh, my God,
yes.
Testify.
Do you know what? I reckon that Jello Biafra would hate more than anything, but he might like it. Who knows?
No, he would probably like it.
Yeah.
He's he likes noises. Anyways,
the Kennedys are one of the most important bands in the whole world.
See, I would tend to agree, and I think it just came to like a horrifying, awful conclusion when those other guys in the Dead Kennedys took Jello to court.
You mean the other guys that have just announced their tour?
Yeah, those guys, yeah.
Right.
The fake Dead Kennedys, yeah. I think that's all sad, but you got to remember how good things were the first time round. I just grabbed 2 of the reissues, for actually no particular reason. This one here was a nice one that Jello put together.
That's my comfort Dead Kennedys album. That one.
That one there.
Yeah. It really is. You know, just I don't know. It's something about it. It's just. Great. It's not the corpses littering the cover. Nor the man with barbed wire wrapped around his face. Or the apocalyptic fire or the buzzards circling.
None of that?
In the picture? No. Well,
what about on the back?
Well, the weird sort of take on making the Coca-Cola look like they're a communist regime. Nah, it's the tunes, Troy.
It is.
It's the music that the band makes.
See, it's
this is Give Me Convenience or Give Me Death is what we're talking about, the album, isn't it?
Yeah, and why I think it's a particularly cool one is because people who weren't there at the beginning and didn't buy the 7-inches wouldn't have got some of the great tunes that were on the B-sides, which never made LP until this compilation. And the one we're going to play, I think, is The Man with the Dogs, right?
That's what we're going to play. I'll just whittle this around here.
Let's have a little bit of this one.
Time on this segment we play rich deep bass music. a different type of production on the Dead Kennedys music. It's more let's get it done, isn't it?
Yeah, and particularly at this point, this would have been late 70s, 79 I think this was recorded.
Awesome.
But listen to his voice, it's just astonishingly great.
It's It's a hard one to sort of go. So where were they? Where did they sit? Sex Pistols wise, like in that sort of popular. Sex Pistols a little bit just before or about the same time. Or?
No, 2 years before, or two to 3 years earlier was the Pistols.
Yeah.
And of course, it was like Biafra and the rest of them were inspired by the Pistols and things which came out of Britain.
And the punk explosion from England, sort of thing.
Like, yeah, Biafra originally moved to San Francisco from Colorado to go to university to be a theatre student.
Right. Well, that's because it's got that face. Hey.
Yeah. And the movement.
Yeah. Yeah. Which you can see in many, many, many videos on the internet.
The other cool thing is that Biafra, his idea for the band.
That name again, by the way, Jello Biafra.
The man that could have been mayor of San Francisco.
Out of it.
His idea for the group was, he thought, well, what's really cool is something like Alice Cooper, but instead of the horror being monsters, the horror is going to be America itself. That was his idea. And the sound of the music, which you can particularly hear at this point, was, he goes, it's kind of got to sound like creepy spy music. Well, of course, not this bit. And then, just because of the similarity in the tune and the title, I also grabbed this one, which is one of my all-time favourite Dead Kennedys records.
Hold on, just appreciate this for a second. If you were at a party on the North Shore back in the day, you were either with that or against it.
All right, roll the next one. Yeah.
Stand by.
Are they really? They really were the shit, weren't they back then? That's they still are. So, you know, like, and this is what I love about Jello so much, is he's still on message, absolutely on message, eh?
The other thing that people who don't know him personally wouldn't know is that Jello's public image and Jello. His private life, it's exactly the same. What you see as Jello Biafra on stage or in performance, that's the guy that we were stuck in the van with. We had to put him right at the back and let him talk to himself. Wow. No, my brother.
And when he came and did that spoken word thing over here and got into about hour four and a half, and people going, really? And he was like, yep,
I'll be back after the break.
Yeah. Fantastic, eh? But the Dead Kennedys were so so significant and so fearless, eh? Would that be the right term?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great.
How's that? Bingo.
Very quick one. That was from In God We Trust Incorporated, 1981. I love this record.
Yeah, it's a beauty, eh?
So anyway, like I was saying, all of the
now this record is the home of the classic Nazi Punks Fuck Off.
Correct. Yes.
What a classic song. What a classic song.
And it's got the first sequel ever to California Rubralis, which is We've Got a Bigger Problem Now. And then there was another sequel a little bit later that Jello did with the Melvins, which was California Rubralis 2005, I think. 2004, which was California Rubralis is Governor Jerry Brown. We've got a bigger problem now is Ronald Reagan, and part three was Arnold, Governator. Yeah,
you can just keep rolling it on, though, eh?
Oh, I would love to hear.
So these reissues, are they Alternative Tentacles reissues?
No, because that's when the Dead Kennedys sued Jello. They took the entire catalog off him. I don't even want to go into this, but the whole thing. That whole court case, I don't want to talk about it because it's totally unfair.
Be brave, Troy.
There was lies. There was lies that the jury believed.
Basically what happened is that the way I read it from a distance, you've got the Dead Kennedys began with Jello running Alternative Tentacles as well, the record label.
Yeah.
That I guess the other three contributors to the band sort of just went, well, come on, man, it's not all about you.
Well, what
the way that bands do, you know?
Well, what actually kicked it all off is Levi's wanted to license Holiday in Cambodia, and Biafra went, no. The others sued, saying that he was indulging in reckless business practices.
out of it, eh?
Right, and then they discovered that there was one royalty payment that had been missed in the previous 15 years or something.
Wow.
And then they also said...
They really rinsed them too, didn't they?
They also said that Biafra didn't write the songs. And the way they proved it was saying, well, he doesn't play an instrument. How could he have written the songs? Well, I have been there when Biafra wrote songs. And he sings he writes it all in his head and sings every musician's part. It goes like this.
Anybody that's been in a band knows that you've got to be careful when you make a comment like that.
Yep. Anyways, all of the nastiness aside, catalogue which...
The whole catalogue. Does it all... Someone sent in a question here. Give me convenience. Does it still come with the Kinky Sex Flex disc?
It doesn't. But instead it puts Kinky Sex on side two near the end.
Goody.
Kinky Sex makes the world go round. That's the that's the pretend Reagan and Thatcher dirty phone call.
Yeah. And also on that album, of course, is also the track that they played. Where were they doing that to the Mascherano thing? Is that one? Is that on that album?
No, it's not on.
Isn't it? Come look.
Night of the Living Rednecks.
But I Fought the Law, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
That the one when they turned around, that they had S's on the shirts and then they put ties down to turn the S's into dollar signs on TV.
The other thing that was on that Kinky Sex Flexi disc originally, Buzz Bomb from Pasadena, which is the song Buzz Bomb from Plastic Surgery Disasters, but Biafra is a little old lady in it.
I love it.
Remember that?
I love that one, yep.
Anyway.
Awesome. Sounds like a little old lady most of the time. Anyway, what else you got there, Troy?
Well, okay, roll what's on turntable one.
Oh, turntable one?
Yeah, let's go for turntable one.
Well, hang on. Woo.
Oh, okay. Thanks for the applause anyway.
Turntable one coming through.
Oh, now.
Mind, here you go.
Back in 1983, there was a lady in Japan called Midori Takada. Now, Midori Takada had originally been part of the Berlin Philharmonic and had turned away from classical music, deciding, well, actually, to me, this classical music all emanates outward and it's kind of like an imperialist thing. So she started studying African music and other percussion-based stuff and had a group called MKWAJU Ensemble. And there was recently an album that was reissued, but...
What was the name of it?
AJU Ensemble.
Thank you.
Mkwaju Ensemble. Anyway, her classic... Well, I'm going to hand this to you now. We release what the F We Want records are putting out, have put out a bunch of Midori stuff.
That's the name of the label.
That's the name of the label. They've put out her 1990 record, Luna Cruz. There's a brand new one, her first record in 25 years, she's doing with La Fonda, is coming out. And this one...
This is a significant piece of artwork, isn't it?
It is, well...
Leonard, would you like to give us your thoughts on this record here? If you came across that in someone's collection, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm definitely a cover guy, and that's taking my fancy. Was that a sheep with... Did you say that's a sheep?
No, I wouldn't.
Llama, perhaps alpaca.
It's a rabbit, a giant rabbit.
I'm gonna say it's a reap or a.
Okay,
that's what it is.
A shabbat.
Yeah, shabbat. That's the one I was looking for. I think that's a shabbat with some. It's a sheep with some ear. Oh yeah.
So right.
Far out.
Through the Looking Glass is, as it says on that sticker, the holy grail of Japanese ambient and minimal music. Now,
big call.
Wow. When they put it out in this version, which I'm holding up, the single version last year, it was one of the biggest selling reissues, or fastest selling reissues of last year. Now, they've gone back to the master tapes and done something pretty amazing. They have half speed mastered it, the album, and put it at 45 RPM, which means there is one piece per side.
And the quality of it is...
It's impeccable. Now, when she went into the studio and made this, she couldn't afford a producer or anyone, so she made it up herself. She spent 2 days in the studio, two songs or two pieces per day, and she thought that one of the things that she'd do is she'd use mic placement and distance between instruments for the overdubbing to create like a 3D sonic perspective on things.
Good on her for doing that.
So it's like percussion based, as you can hear, but apart from like marimba and drums, there's coke bottle and things. It's all Midori. She just overdubbed and overdubbed and overdubbed on analog tape.
Wow.
And this record is a stunner. I'm not kidding you. I mean, it says ambient minimal. Yeah, I guess you could say it's that. It's like, to me, it's something which completely exists and it's on its own sort of plane.
So that's her playing all the instruments, did you say?
Yeah. Oh yeah, the other thing about this limited edition double, it's a crystal clear transparent vinyl. There you go.
How can sound so rich be crystal clear?
Wow. So this one is side four, which is a piece called Catastrophe Epsilon. I'm just going to quickly consult the inner sleeve and just tell you one thing she says about this. Where is it? Right. After having played Western classical music for a while, I soon discovered in minimalism for the first time a musical style that does not place an emphasis on the expression of emotions. More specifically, it disavows expression itself. It is not a musical style whose expression comes from the individual. Its existence proves that just as in many social structures, a hierarchical system exists through many kind of music. It's about how sound is allocated within the structure of the piece itself.
It's a bold, bold path to wander down, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know, you read that, you think that's just words, and then you hear it's like, click, I've got it.
I know.
So Midori Takada, Through the Looking Glass, this is not going to last for very long, this special edition of the double. We've also got, like I said, Luna Cruz. We've got the MKWAGAU Ensemble. All of these are on We Release What The F We Want. And coming up, I think at the end of the month, is her brand new work with La Fonda.
La Fonda?
Yep, the first thing she's done in over 20 years.
Wow.
But if you want to play catch-up, can come in and get these. Do you like this, Mike, or not?
Yeah, I do. I'm just imagining that when someone's put that much effort into a record like that, you make sure you put it back in the sleeve and get drunk and start throwing it around, put in the wrong sleeve, leave it on the bed or something like that, eh?
No.
I'm just... There's people out there, there's record enthusiasts out there go, Mike, stop it. It's too early for that sort of discussion.
Don't touch that vinyl without gloves.
Is this sort of person you might want to hire an assistant just to be your vinyl like handler, you know, in case you blunder and do something like, you know, drop some scissors onto it. Oh, God forbid. It's hypnotic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right on. We've got one more.
One more. Now,
greedy.
You'll remember about a year ago on this segment, Mike, we had Binker and Moses.
Yes.
And we had a Journey. No, what was it? What's it called? The one with the prog cover? Journey to the Mountain. I forgot what it's called. My God, I can see it in my head. I can see it in my record collection.
It's
anyway,
like a psychedelic travel brochure.
It is. And the one disc of that was just Binker and Moses themselves, whereas the other disc, they expanded their group to bring in Yusuf Days on drums, additional drums. The amazing, probably most successful ever free jazz saxophonist from Britain, Mr. Evan Parker.
Hi, yes, Evan.
Also, Byron Wallen on trumpet and Tori Hansley on harp. Now, I remember at the time you not saying this at all. You didn't say this at all. You said, I wonder what this... No, you didn't say it. What would this sound like live? Brand new album from Binker and Moses, recorded about the time we played. Cool, we album. Played it on the radio. Journey to the Mountain and Forever was the name of the album. That's right. Anyway, this one is called Alive in the East with a question mark. It was recorded last July at Total Refreshment Centre in London.
That's a nice recording.
Yeah, with the full expanded band. Now, this is on Gearbox Records. You say nice recording. They are very, very fussy about the equipment they use to both record and to cut the masters.
Well, that's like being there, isn't it?
Yep.
Awesome.
Here comes Byron.
That's a great live recording right there. Jesus. Hello. That's me. I'm the dick in the background going, woo!
I especially like the way that they've got in each channel you can hear a different drummer.
Yeah, that's cool, eh? I think I was going to go for the two. I'd go for the live.
You go for this one?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think of the cover?
It's great if you like colouring in.
There you go. It's like almost a...
Doodle art. Is what it reminds me of. Doodle art.
It's almost the opposition to that...
the other side. Of
Journey
yeah.
to the Mountain and Forever.
Just proves yeah. psychedelic doesn't have to be always be about colours.
That's right. This one here is entitled Children of the Ultra Blacks. Now, what we played on From the Crate when the album came out was Valley of the Ultra Blacks. I don't know what this has specifically to do with that. It is harmonically related, but...
Where, does it say where it's recorded?
Yeah, it's the Total Refreshment Centre in London.
So there's drinks in that?
Yeah, but I don't think that's what Total Refreshment...
I always want when they're doing live recordings with it, you know, someone doing that whole thing, like get to the end of a milkshake or something. Noise, you know. Or someone's just at the wrong time, like some ice clinking in a glass or someone dropping the wine glass, like in the theatre. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, shit. Especially if you're fussy recorders, like, you know. Someone's phone going. Oh. Might be like going through the security at the airport or something. They might pat him run down and make sure there's no stupid noise making things, or you know. You couldn't have a that could really really bum out a recording like this, couldn't it?
Yeah,
I suppose you can edit it out. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, you don't mic up the audience for a start, but
no, but I mean, you can hear them.
If some idiot comes in with a whistle, what do you do then?
Well, yells out, "Warriors!" Binker and Moses, Children of the Ultra Blacks, that's live off the album.
Alive in the East, question mark.
Alive in the East. Thank you very much, Troy.
Thank you so much.
Great, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street, next to T. White Spikes.